Chapter 8, we've been looking at the church at Philadelphia. We've called them the prevailing church. We've called them the fruitful church. And so Revelation chapter 3 tonight, verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus speaking to them, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Boy, God can do a lot with a little, can't he? Thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. We saw that Sunday. And it's not denied my name. And that's what we want to look at tonight, that last phrase of verse 8, has not denied my name. Let's pray one more time and ask God to bless the service. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you again for these folks being here. Lord, please, please speak through me tonight to their heart. I pray they'd lay aside all the cares of life now, Lord, and that we'd put aside all the thoughts that would intrude into our mind and heart. We'd cast them aside and allow the Holy Spirit of God to minister the word to us. We pray your word would have free course, be glorified in this sanctuary and over the airwaves, just like it is in heaven tonight. And Father, I pray that the preaching would be mixed with faith, that it might be profitable and effectual in the life of your people. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for your graciousness and your kindness and your compassion. And Lord, I'm just glad you're my God. And when we study things like we study tonight, Lord, it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging that you don't cast us away. Lord, if we're saved tonight, you said no man could pluck us out of your hand. And you said you would in no wise cast us out, those that come unto you. And so, Lord, I pray you'll help us tonight as we study this about denying your name. And Lord, may that not be true about us here, just like it was not true at Philadelphia. And I pray we could receive that commendation at Spring City. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, last commendation to the church here. Thou hast not denied my name. Now, this is similar to what we discussed and studied with Pergamos. And if you remember, the church at Pergamos held fast to Jesus' name. And it was really tempting for me to preach then what I'm going to preach to you tonight. But I believe the Lord had me hold it off to preach it to you tonight with Philadelphia because of the phraseology and the words that God used to describe this. And so Pergamos held fast his name. We talked about that name of Jesus when we studied that church and that commendation. We talked about it ought to be viewed as an honor to be called a Christian and to really be a Christian in the truest sense of the word, a Christian. It ought to be something that we hold in high regard. It ought to be something that we want, that we desire. I want people to know that I love Jesus. I want people to know I'm a Christian. Amen. And it ought to be something that we view with great responsibility. Because if we're going to take the name of Jesus with us, as we sang tonight, it matters how we walk. It matters how we talk. It matters what we believe. Every aspect of our life matters when we say, I'm one of Jesus' children. I'm a child of God. And so I trust tonight that we hold that in high regard and that we understand that responsibility and embrace that responsibility while we're down here on this earth. Mark chapter 8 with me, if you'll turn over there, Mark chapter 8. We preached a whole message about being ashamed of Jesus. We'll just come back and get the highlights of these verses here, refresh our memory before we head into the real application tonight. Mark chapter 8 verse 34, the Bible says, Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore, verse 38, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And again, we preached a whole message on this, so I don't want to rehash the whole thing tonight. But you understand when Jesus says that in verse 38 about being ashamed of him in an adulterous and a sinful generation, you and I live in a day today where people are not ashamed of their sin anymore. They can't blush at their sin. There's all kinds of perversion. There's all kinds of wickedness. There's all kinds of just absolute horrible things that are out there. And what happens is the television and the entertainment and the social media and the radio waves, all of that stuff desensitizes us to things that we ought to be ashamed of. In fact, it glorifies sin, and it makes sin look fun. And even if it doesn't make it look fun, it's presented in such a way as, well, everybody lives this way. Why aren't you living that way? And Jesus said, well, if you're one of mine, you need to be peculiar. He said, if you're one of mine, you need to be separate from all that. He said, if you're one of mine, I didn't call you to uncleanness. I called you to godliness. And so we live in that society where adultery and sin and all the wickedness that goes on with all that is not, the people aren't ashamed of it. They just think it's normal. They just think, and then when you and I come along and say, well, that's a sin, they look at you like you're a weirdo. That's all right. I'll be a weirdo for Jesus. Amen. And so I hope, and this is the point we made in that message, I'll make it and move on. I hope that at Spring City Baptist Church, we are ashamed of our sin, not ashamed of our Savior. God help us to be lifting up Jesus and magnifying Jesus Christ every chance we get and not be ashamed. And here's the phrase for tonight. Not be ashamed to be associated with Him. That word ashamed means having done something that injures the reputation. Sin injures a person's reputation. Somebody lies to you for the very first time in their life, you don't think very highly of them. Don't look at me like that. Somebody cheats you out of $1,000, you're not going to look on that very highly. Somebody's talking about someone else behind their back and running them down. We ought to have enough of character and integrity to say, that's not right. And then your assessment of their reputation is going to fall because of what they were doing. And so to be ashamed is to have done something that injures the reputation. Now, Jesus commended the church at Philadelphia for not denying His name. And I'm going to tell you the reason that people deny the name of Jesus, they deny any association with Jesus, is because they perceive that it damages their reputation. Now, obviously, they're being looked at from the world's eyes and from sinful men and women's eyes. And so when they deny Jesus, they say, look, I'm not going to associate with my Savior, I'm going to associate with this sinful an adulterous generation. I want to please them, not please the Savior. And while nobody here tonight would agree out loud publicly, yes, that's what I want to do, Pastor, it happens. Or I should say it this way, the temptation is there. When maybe you're at work and you know, your boss comes in and maybe it's just I'll put it in a context. Doesn't always go this way, but maybe you're having a company luncheon or a company dinner or something like that, and it's kind of off hours, off time, and the boss comes in, everybody's standing around and, you know, just kind of shooting the breeze, and all of a sudden the boss says something condescending about Christianity or about the church or about Jesus, or uses Jesus and His name in vain as a curse word. Now all of a sudden you got a decision to make. Am I going to stand with Jesus? Or am I going to stand with a sinful and adulterous generation? And the reason that we don't often speak up in those circumstances is because we know if we do, we're going to contradict the man that signs the paycheck. And so now it's a hard decision sometimes. It shouldn't be. I mean, they didn't die for you on the cross. Right, they weren't buried for you and rose again the third day. You understand? They didn't go to heaven, prepare a place for you, and they're not going to come back and get you and take you that yet. Right? But it's just human nature. It's just this flesh. Often won't speak up, and in not speaking up, we in effect deny Jesus. The word deny means this. It means to contradict. It means to disown. It means to reject. Listen. It is to refuse to acknowledge. The Philadelphia church was commended for not denying Jesus' name. Wherever they went, they said, "You one of them Christians? Sure am. You go to that church in Philadelphia? Oh yeah. I heard y'all were a cult. Oh, we ain't a cult, man. We just love Jesus." You could fill in Spring City for Philadelphia over the years in those comments and others. So listen, church, tonight you and I hope you've already made the decision, already settled in your heart. I am going to stand with Jesus and not deny his name no matter what happens to me in my life. I hope that's the mindset of everybody here and the fortitude of everybody here. But if some, listen, you may say that tonight, "Preacher, that's me. I'm with Jesus tonight." And tomorrow be put in a situation where you sort of move back to neutral. Okay? And so I just want to take you through probably the most famous denial of Jesus Christ. The church at Philadelphia did something that one of Jesus' closest disciples didn't do. And that's Peter's denial of Christ. So let's head to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. I know you're familiar with that. But man, I tell you, it helps to go back and read over this stuff and study it, the things that you already knew. And God just, he just shines some fresh light on it. And it's like a drink of cold water when you're thirsty. Amen. It really helped me to study through this. I trust it'll help you. Matthew 26, verse 30. Matthew 26, verse 30. The Bible says, "And when they had sung a hymn," don't you wonder what they sung? I mean, John Newton hadn't written Amazing Grace yet. I wonder what it was. "When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Now verse 33, Peter. We got to love Brother Peter, don't we? As far as we know, Peter's the only guy that was married. Maybe that's why he's so wacko. No, I'm just kidding. "Peter answered and said unto him," let's move on, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I," and the next word is, "never be offended." Now listen, I appreciate that. I think everybody in this room tonight, if we asked you, would you agree? Was that you tonight? Would you say that's you? "Lord, I'll never be offended at you. Lord, I'll stand with you from here until you take me home." I think probably everybody in here would say, "Yes, sir. Amen." That is my desire, preacher. That's my desire. Peter's right. He's in the right spot. His heart's in the right spot. He's got the right attitude about it all. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Well, Peter's gotten beat up in the book of Matthew, hadn't he? As he gets over there and Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" Well, some say you're John the Baptist, Elias, and you know. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "Well, you're the Son of God." Just kind of matter of factly, you know. And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood not revealed that to thee, but my Father which is in." So Peter got a direct revelation from God the Father about who Jesus is, and he confessed him before all those guys. And then Jesus says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He starts telling about his death, burial, and crucifixion, and Peter rebukes him. And then Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Calls him a stone, then he calls him Satan. It's the way life goes sometimes, isn't it? And then get over here and Peter, you know, Jesus says, "Listen, I'm gonna be taken and killed and according to prophecy, and you guys are all gonna deny me and leave me." And Peter said, "I'll never be offended." In other words, "I'll stay with you the whole way." Verse 35, and Jesus said, "No, before the cock crows, you're gonna deny me." Now, I gotta say one thing right here. And I don't want to get lost in the weeds, okay? But I just preached all Sunday night about the King James Bible being the Word of God. Amen. And it is. Now, if you read the gospel accounts of this, Jesus says right here, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And I believe it's Mark and maybe Luke, one of the other gospels. How many times does the cock crow? Okay? So here it looks like Jesus is saying, before the cock crows the first time, you're going to deny me three times. But you get over there in the other Gospels and it says that Peter denied him, the cock crew, then he denied him two more times, and the cock crew again, and both of them are right. So how in the world do you distinguish that? Do you know what the fourth watch of the night was called from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.? It was called the cock crowing. Because you can imagine that's what happens. Right? I mean, and so the way you handle that is, in Matthew, it's the fourth watch. It's a period of time. In the other Gospels, they're just giving you the better details of it. That rooster crowed twice. The first one was a warning. Boy, there's you a message now. Somebody needs to take out and run with it. What did the cock say to Peter? Y'all can chew on that one. Anyway, let's move on. Peter said unto him, watch verse 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not, and the word is, deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Boy, isn't that the way it goes? You get in a group, one guy's real strong, all the rest of the guys are strong. And then one guy gets weak and all the rest of the guys get weak. I appreciate where these men, where their heart is. I'm glad about that. But Jesus just knows the heart of men. And Jesus knows, with him sitting, listen, with Jesus sitting there, these guys, you got to think, they've watched Jesus raise the dead, give sight to the blind, make the lame to walk, right? Make the deaf to hear. They've watched him do all those things. And so while they're with Jesus and he's right there and they can see him, these guys aren't afraid of anything. They're out there in that boat and the water's coming in, and Jesus just steps out there and says, peace be still, and the whole thing goes glass calm. And they're like, what manner of man is this? I don't know, but he's my buddy. I'm with him. Right? And everybody's in a really positive, strong frame of mind while Jesus is there. But in just a few verses, a mob is going to show up. And they're going to show up with pitchforks and with staves. And they're going to come and they're going to arrest Jesus. And things are going to start changing for these men very quickly. And so Peter says, I'll never deny you. I won't do that, Lord. You can count on me. All right, down to verse 40. So Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John. And he goes into the garden to pray, and he tells those guys, y'all sit here, pray for me. Verse 40, he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter. He didn't say it to John. He didn't say it to James. He said it to Peter. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch him pray. Now, do you think God knows what's getting ready to happen? You said God. Didn't you mean Jesus? Yes. He's God. Don't you know? He knows what's getting ready to happen. Amen. Look what he says to Peter. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Lord, I'll never be offended of you. Lord, I'll never deny you. That's the right spirit. But the flesh is weak. And Jesus knows who's getting ready to come down that hill out of Jerusalem. They're probably already on their way when he says this. Amen. He knows who's walking out of that sheep gate and coming down that trail. And they're going to make that switchback and they'll come into that Garden of Gethsemane. He knows. They're on the way. And he tries to tell Peter, you need to be praying. Temptation's coming, Peter. Tough time's coming, Peter. He went away again, second time, and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, let thy will be done. Was it Muhammad Ali? If it wasn't, somebody help me out. I think it was Muhammad Ali that said, every man's got a plan until he gets punched in the face. Mike Tyson. Boy, that was a real... I'm sorry, Muhammad Ali family. Anyway, I can't believe something smart came out of that guy's mouth. Had to spit the ear out to get... Anyway, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Ain't that true in life? Amen. Best laid plans, and you get started carrying that thing out, and all of a sudden, man, it just blows up in front of you. And we find out what we're really made of when that happens. We find out what spirit we're of. We find out all kinds of things about ourselves when those sort of things happen. And here's Peter. He's got a plan. But he's getting ready to get punched in the mouth. And so the Bible says, verse 58. So Jesus, you know, here the mob's going to come and they're going to arrest him. And Peter's going to cut off Malchus's ear. You find that over in John. Jesus sticks it back on. That ought to have been enough for them to all just run away. Not mess with him anymore. After they came to him, he said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And they all fell backwards. That would have been a good time to go back home. But nonetheless, verse 58. So Jesus has been arrested. They go to Caiaphas, the high priest's house. And we find Peter, who just told Jesus, "I'll never be offended of you." We find Peter, who just told Jesus, "I'll never deny you. I'll stand with you the whole way, Lord." Peter followed him afar off. Why is Peter afar off now? He's far off because he's perceived the danger that comes with standing beside Jesus Christ. Because he figures if they're going to come and arrest Jesus, and if what he's told us is true, they're going to kill him. If I'm standing there with me, they're going to arrest me, and they're going to beat me, and they're going to crucify me. And Peter decided, like all the rest of the guys, because they all forsook him. Verse 56, all the disciples forsook him and fled. All those guys decided, "I'm not in it that far." I so appreciate this church. You saints have stuck in here through some hard times over 90 years. And you're to be commended for that. You are. But it's not always easy. And while you're still here tonight through all the difficulties that we've gone through, the next difficulty is on the horizon. Say, what is it? I don't know, but it's coming. Spanberger stays in office long enough, it won't be just your gun she's after. It'll be your Bible and your church and, you know, you understand, your kids. Nonetheless, beyond that, the old saying holds true, that you're either in one of three places in your life. You're either coming out of a trial, you're in the middle of a trial, or you're getting ready to go through a trial. And I think probably right now our church, we're getting ready for the whole. Now, there's individuals that are bearing burdens and things like that. But I think as a church as a whole, we're probably getting ready to go through one again at some point. I hope Jesus comes back before that happens. But when those trials and temptations, as Jesus talked about with Peter, when they show up, they're just slightly different than the last one. Because you made it through the last one, and so the world's not going to give you the same trial again. You passed that test. They're going to change the test a little bit. Right? The devil's not going to give you the same temptation again, because you held off on that one. He's going to twist it a little bit, give you a different flavor this time. Remember? I mean, he did that with Jesus three times in the wilderness. Tried plan A. Plan A didn't work. Got punched in the mouth. Tried plan B, didn't work. Tried plan C, didn't work. And he left him for a season. That tells me that the devil came back after Jesus again and again and again. And he'll do the same for you and I. And so the point of all this is, this church is to be commended tonight for still being here and being together after everything we've gone through. But the next thing we go through may take somebody out. The next thing that happens in your life may be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And we don't want that to be the case. And so here's Peter. He's following afar off. And the reason he's following afar off is because he has perceived that it is dangerous to be associated with Jesus Christ. Now, we live in America where we still have religious freedom. And even though the gas prices are going up, everybody still ate 3 meals today and lives very comfortably. But there may come a day in this country, like it's happened all around the world with your brothers and sisters in Christ in 2026 and all back through the church age history, where it was dangerous for those saints to be associated with Jesus Christ. And many of them lost their lives. And many of them did not deny His name, even when they were standing at the stake, tied with their hands behind their back and the straw around them doused with whatever burning fuel they were going to burn them with. And they'd look at them with the match and the torch lit and say, "I'll give you one more chance. Deny Jesus Christ, we'll let you go." And they'll say, "I never deny Him," or "Jesus saves," or whatever it was they said. And they just dropped that torch and there it went. I appreciate that kind of fortitude. I hope God will give you and I that kind of fortitude even when we face lesser temptations and lesser situations. To lose a job would be a horrible thing. But do you think for 1 minute if you lost your job because you stood with Jesus and did not deny His name, do you think God might be able to give you another one? I mean, He's kind of a powerful God like that. If you lost a friend, losing a friend, listen, I've had it happen to me and it's not fun, it's painful. But if you lose a friend because you don't deny Jesus and you're going to stand with Him and not back off of these biblical standards in your life because you know it pleases Jesus, and you lose that friend, don't you think God might find you another friend? Plus, Jesus said that He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we could go through 100 different scenarios tonight. What I want to draw out from this, and I do not, it is not my intention to just bash Brother Peter tonight. Because any one of us in that same situation would have probably done exactly what he did, or maybe we wouldn't have even showed up at the palace. We're just going to go home and get in the closet. Right? So, I don't want to bash Peter tonight. But I do want to learn from this. And so the Bible says that he followed Jesus afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants, the Bible says, to see the end. Now I think this is probably describing where most Christians are today. Most saved people are today. They're willing to be associated with Jesus so as long as it doesn't cost them something dearly. But the moment it threatens to begin to cost them something that they hold dear to their life, whether it's their reputation, whether it's their paycheck, whether it's their association with people, whatever it is, they begin to follow Jesus afar off. And they'll sort of get in eye shot of Jesus, and they'll stay, you know, close enough to see Him, but they're not going to go in there in front of the high priest and sit with Him. And you're going to see here in a minute, there was one that did. His name's John. And that's why God describes John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Because John loved Jesus. And when all the other disciples fled, and Peter's out there with the servants of that high priest and those sinners and those wicked people, John's inside where Jesus is being scourged. He's being mocked. He's being blasphemed. And the Bible doesn't tell us what John did. It doesn't tell us what, I don't know if he just stood there quietly. I have no idea. It doesn't tell us. But John's also the only one standing at the cross. So why did Peter pull back? Well, he pulled back from the perceived danger, and he thought, because Peter's like a lot of us, he thought, if I stay with Jesus, I'm going to be associated with Him, and that's not going to go well for me. And so he follows Jesus afar off, and people today are willing to do the same thing. They'll associate with Jesus as long as it doesn't cost them something. If you'll come with me to Luke 22, Luke 20. Hold your place in Matthew 26. We'll be back, or if you can find it quickly, that's, you can let it go. But Luke 22, look with me here in verse 55. Luke 22 and verse 55, well, 54, get the paragraph mark. Luke 22, 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Okay, same context, yes? Know where we're at? And it says, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Can I remind you, less than 24 hours before this happened? Yea, probably less than maybe 3 or 4 hours before this happened. Peter was sitting in a different position, wasn't he? He was sitting at the Last Supper at the table being served by Jesus with the other disciples. Oh, how quickly things change. They're sitting there and they're talking of the things to come, and Jesus is giving them the New Testament, amen, the prophecy of the New Testament, His blood. And they're all there and they've sung a hymn and they go out to have a prayer meeting. I mean, what better way could you spend the night? And yet, within a matter of hours, he goes from sitting at the table with Jesus to now sitting with the high priest's servants, warming himself by the fire in a place he should have never been. Not only that, but if you'll grab John 18, you can let Luke 22 go, but grab John 18. John chapter 18. The Bible says this. John chapter 18, verse 18, it says, and the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And yet, just minutes before this, Peter tells Jesus, I'm not going to deny you. I'll stand with you, Lord. Minutes before this, Peter tells Jesus, I'll never be offended at you. I'll stand with you, Lord. I'll stand right there beside you. And yet, he's not. He's standing outside with the high priest's servants, warming himself by a fire. And I'm just telling you, church, tonight, things can change that quickly for you and I. And the things that we never thought would happen can begin to happen. And that's when our resolve, and that's when our fortitude, and that's when our love for Jesus Christ is really going to be made manifest. Because either we're going to love the Savior and we're going to stay with Him, or we're going to love ourselves and we're going to back off. And in backing off, we're denying Him. In backing off, listen, we are refusing to acknowledge our association with Him. And so there's Peter, he's sitting among them by the fire, he just sat with Jesus at the Last Supper. There's Peter standing around the fire, he just stood with Jesus and told him he would stand with him no matter what happened. But now he's with the wrong company. Now he's in the wrong place. Now he's trying to disassociate with Jesus. Now get this with me, please, okay? You're saved tonight. Amen. As long as y'all been coming to church, it's going to be hard for you to do this, just like it's hard for Peter to do this. Okay? When Peter decides, I am going to deny Jesus and disassociate myself from Him, he had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. You spend time around somebody that long, you're going to start talking like them. You're going to start looking like them. And your mannerisms are going to be like them, right? If you've been married any length of time, you know that happens in the house, for better or for worse. And so here's Peter, he's trying to disassociate from Jesus, but he's sticking out like a sore thumb. And all the servants of the high priest who haven't been with Jesus, and who in fact hate Jesus, and believe the Pharisees' religion, and all, and they're all steeped in all that stuff, and they start looking at Peter and they're saying, you're different. And those little maids come by and they say, weren't you one of His disciples? And Peter says, I was not. And I'm going to summarize some of this for you guys tonight because we're running out of time. And then a little bit later, another guy walks by who happened to be the cousin of Malchus. You'll find this in John. And he says, no, you're the guy. Essentially, he says, you're the guy that cut my cousin's ear off. And Peter says, man, I was not. I wasn't there. It wasn't me. But I do want you to come here with me. Matthew 26 again. And listen. You're liable to get some of this now in your life, especially in your association with our church. I've had this happen to me. And listen, I count it as a great honor. I met a lady a few months ago, and my name was introduced to her. And she said, oh, Nathan Brown, you're the pastor at Spring City. Yes, ma'am, that's right. And she said, y'all are the ones that preach off the float, aren't you? And when it comes like that, Brother Gideon, you don't know what's coming next. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, it's an honor to do that for Jesus Christ. And she was a friendly, amen. Oh, we love it. We think it's great. Oh, whew, hallelujah. Okay. But you're going to get some of that. Hey, didn't I see you walking in the parade route? Well, what was that guy saying off the float? I couldn't quite understand him. It wasn't loud enough. But you could at least quote one of the verses, couldn't you? So that association, sometimes you're going to get that. You go to Spring City. Oh, yeah, I've heard some things about that church. Can I tell you how to answer that? Follow it up with, what'd you hear? And if they tell you, answer it. And if they don't tell you, say, we love that church. That's a great place to be. And if you can't say that, we got a problem. Amen. We'll get back to the Bible tonight. Matthew 26. Here's the next one. Verse 73. That association will get questioned. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. That word beray means give away. It means to expose. They said, yeah. I'm pretty sure we saw you in the garden. No, it wasn't me, man. Are you sure? I mean, you look kind of like him. No, wasn't me. And another guy comes by and says, you got to be one of them. You're talking like a Christian. And so Peter, in order to deny that and dispel that, begins to do what? Begins to curse and talk like the world. Because, you know, he was a fisherman at one time. He got that vocabulary. Church, the way you and I speak to people in this world ought to show that we're one of Jesus' children. Amen. It ought to associate us with being a Christian. I had this happen once when I moved down to Abingdon, began to work in the office over there. I moved back home, I was working in Abingdon. And I had to put a shelf unit in the studio, in the architectural studio in there. And so I'm in there working in Quinn's in her office. And it took me about 3 hours. I got paid for it too. That's pretty good. Anyway, I'm in there working and finally getting down close to getting done. And she said, Nathan. I said, yeah. She said, I got a question for you. I said, okay. So I got up and I came door frame for door officer. And I said, what? And she said, it's really curious. She said, you've been in there for almost 3 hours putting that together. And she said, I've never heard you cuss one time. Doesn't mean I didn't want to, because it was frustrating. But I just looked at her and I said, well, Quinn, I said, we'll get to know each other a whole lot better over the years. I said, but the first thing you need to know about me is I'm a Christian. And I said, I don't think Christians ought to talk like that. And she said, okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the way we talk and the way our speech comes across to people ought to indicate that we are a Christian. And so here's Peter's appearance and here is his speech, and he's sticking out like a sore thumb, and he's peculiar just like God wants him to be, and he's separated just like God wants him to be, and he's different just like God wants him to be, but he begins to backpedal all those things to try to disassociate himself from Jesus Christ. And when he begins to curse, look what he says. He began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And the Bible says what? Immediately the cock crew. And that's the third time. And if you'll come with me over to Luke 22. I remember Rick Baker preaching on this. Never forgot it. Well, he did such a great job bringing the emotion of this out. Luke chapter 22. Look, let's start reading verse 54. Let's get some context here. Make it clean for us. Luke 22:54, and they took him, led him, brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him as they sat by the fire, earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." After a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." Immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, Luke 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He's close enough. He can see in that door. And he can see what they're doing to Jesus. And he can probably hear him punching him in the face. He can hear him mocking him. And he's standing out there around that fire. And he's scared to death to be associated with Jesus. Because what if they do that to me? And he denies him, and he denies him. And the third time he denies him, Jesus turns, sitting in that seat, being mocked and punched and made fun of. Can you imagine the look on his face? And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And all that's left to do at that time, Peter went out and wept bitterly. The very thing he said he'd never do, he did it. Church, I'm just telling, it's just a warning tonight. There's some temptation in your life, you say, "I'd never do that." If the Holy Ghost of God doesn't help you, you'd do it tonight before the night's over with. Well, what do you do after that? Well, he didn't stick around for the crucifixion, did he? Peter's not there. They come and take his body down and put it in the grave. Peter's not there. A couple days go past, and Mary says that he's risen. So Peter's got to run, go see, and he gets there, and Jesus' body's not there. Doesn't know where he's at. And Peter says, "Well, I've really made a mess out of this." He said, "I think I'll go back fishing." John said, "Okay, let's go." Some of the other guys said, "Hey, if you're going, we're going." And they get out there. Jesus comes up on the shoreline. "Did y'all catch anything?" No, "I've been out here all night." "Well, throw it on the other side of the boat." They ought to know by now, right? "Throw it on the other side of the boat." They throw it over there, and that net starts to get heavy. And Peter knows. John says, "Peter, that's the Lord." And Peter says, "I got to get my coat back on." And he comes swimming in the shore. And Jesus sits down around a campfire. Isn't that curious? And he looks at him and says, "Peter, lovest thou me?" 3 times. You say, "That's a coincidence." I don't believe it for a minute. That's not odd. That's just the way God works. But I want you to see this tonight. Listen to everybody in this room. at some point in our life, we've done what Peter did. We haven't spoke up when we should have. We wanted to stay cool with the people we were with rather than be labeled a weirdo with Jesus. Everybody in here has gone through it. Here's what I love about Jesus, and here's what I love about this story tonight. My Savior didn't throw Peter away. When he denied him at one of the lowest hours of my Savior's life, I can't imagine the hurt that was in Jesus' eyes when he looked out that door and looked at Peter. But a few days later, here's Jesus saying, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. All right, feed my lambs." Another bite of fish. "Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, I told you I love you. All right, feed my sheep." Bite of bread and drink of water. "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Oh, now he's grieved. "Lord, you know I love you. All right, feed my sheep." And they finish and they get up and they go walking down the beach, and there goes John and Peter and Jesus. And Peter looks over at John and says, "What's he going to do?" And Jesus says, "What's that to thee? Amen. Follow thou me." There is nobody like my Savior. That a man that would deny him openly three times in public at his lowest hour, he comes back to him and says, "I got a job for you to do. If you'll just love me, Peter, you'll get that job done." Here you and I sit tonight, every one of us, we're guilty of doing what Peter did. Somewhere in our life we've done it. But my Savior is so kind and compassionate. He looked at everybody at Spring City Baptist Church and he says, "I got something for you to do. And if you'll just love me, you can get it done." And one day, wouldn't it be great at the judgment seat of Christ to have Jesus hand you a diamond? No, a precious stone. Well, that's a diamond, ain't it? Comes off that conveyor belt of your works. He hands that to you and says, "Thanks for not denying my name." Well, that'd be special, wouldn't it? Be special. Church, we are no stranger to the effects of being associated with Jesus in this community. We're no stranger to it. What we've got to be careful of and what we've got to watch out for is that the next time the devil attacks this church for our stand with Jesus Christ, that we don't draw back like Peter did and begin to follow Jesus afar off. Because the next step, when we begin to follow Jesus afar off, the next step down the line is denying him. And I don't want to be guilty of denying my Savior. He died for me. He died for you. Let's make sure we stand for him in these last days.